Well, hello, sons, and hello, brothers. This is Ken Pierpont, and it's time for Stuff I Want to Say, Mostly to Men, a podcast for men. And today's episode of the podcast is going to be about words, the power of words to bless, to help, and to harm. And I'm entitling it, Was That a Blessing or a Curse? Years ago, I heard a story about a man who on a sunny autumn morning in a little town in Ohio was on his way to the grain elevator on his tractor with a gravity feed wagon behind him, taking his grain to the elevator. And he was going right down the main street of his home, small hometown, on this beautiful autumn day, when the tongue malfunctioned on his trailer, and his trailer came off the back of his truck, and it swung into the lane of opposing traffic, and he could tell that it collided with a car there. He was disappointed because he realized that was going to be inconvenience and expense, and parked his truck and he walked back. But what he didn't expect to find was that the tongue of the trailer had gone up into the through the windshield of a car and had taken the life of a driver. He had no idea the devastating impact of that mistake. And so it is with our tongue. The scriptures say that the tongue is a powerful force for good, but it also is a powerful force for evil. Our words can damage and destroy or damn. Spoken words have power for good or evil. The scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Words are so powerful that the Bible says we'll be held accountable for every word we speak. Jesus himself made this clear in Matthew 12:36-37. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of it. In the day of judgment, with your words you will be justified, and with your words you'll be condemned. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 also talks about that. That would be worthwhile, gentlemen, to meditate on James 3, 9 through 11. It talks about the power of the tongue to direct, or the power of the tongue to destroy. In the epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1, Peter said, lay aside all evil speaking. In 1 Peter 2:22, he said, neither was guile found in his mouth, referring to Christ. In 1 Peter 3:9, Peter said he did not to render evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessing. In 1 Peter 3:10, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And then Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10-11 that when a man speaks, he should speak as the oracles of God. In other words, when he speaks, what he says should be consistent with Scripture, or as if it came from Scripture. And that's just one book of the Bible. So if you take the teaching of the Proverbs, and you take the teaching of Jesus, and you take the teaching of James, and you take the teaching of 1 Peter, and all throughout the scripture often warns of the damage of evil words. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are like wounds that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than him. Proverbs 29:20. Evil speaking, and in the end, when you're not careful about the words that you use with your loved ones, you can leave a lifelong scar on their souls. I worked with a fellow named Phil once, and he was working in construction. He's real frustrated with, always frustrated working in construction. I said, you don't seem to like working in construction. He said, no, I really don't. I'd love to get out of it. I'm like, why do you do it, Phil? He said, well, I was working on the roof with my dad one day, and I bent nails a few times, and my dad said to me, man, Phil, I hope you never try to work in construction. You can never make it. You're so clumsy. And because of that curse, he determined he was going to make it just to show his dad that he could do it. Well, it wasn't his dad's fault, but a man should realize, we should realize, men, that the words that we use are going to have a powerful effect on our, on the people around us, especially those nearest us, our wives and our little sons and daughters, our older sons and daughters. Our words that we use day to day, when we don't really think much about what we're saying, they can have a powerful effect on those that we love. They can damage them. They can destroy them. They can damn them. So keep that in mind. Your words can damage. But second, your words can build and bless. Words can be very powerful for good. The scriptures say heaviness is in the heart of a man. Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Proverbs 12:25. A good word makes a glad heart. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in the due season, how good is it? That's Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken, it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You ever heard somebody say, hey, you have a good word for us today? People long for a good word. You ever heard anybody say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all? It's not a bad advice. If you don't have anything good to say, you should have something good to say. I was speaking at a retreat in southern Michigan one weekend. I believe it was a Labor Day weekend. And our son Chuck, he was a teen at the time, and he came with us, and he took his bike, and he went out for a ride through the countryside. And when he got back, he said, Dad, I had the neatest experience. He said, I was riding along in the dusk, and I rode up along this road, and I could smell this beautiful fragrance of grapes, and I realized that I was riding through a vineyard. There was just a fragrance there. Gentlemen, you have the power to lend a sweet fragrance to the atmosphere around you. And if you want to do something that will bless your children, then measure words carefully and be wise and circumspect about harsh words, about words. Ask yourself, do these words, if they're repeated, will I wince in pain? Are these words the words I want my wife or my children to remember about me, if they remember little else? What words did you say? What words do you say? One way to look at it is to look at it like this. Satan wants to damn. He ultimately wants to take people to hell, but God wants to take people to heaven. So Satan wants to curse. That means send somebody to hell, and God wants to bless, ultimately take them to heaven. So when you speak words, even if they're direct, or even if they're difficult words, even if it's a rebuke or a correction, ask yourself before you go to speak them, will these words be a blessing or a curse? Will they help Satan with what he's trying to do with them? Or will you be an agent and an instrument of God to help do what God wants to do in their life? So think of these two things, men. Your words can damage and destroy and damn, or your words can build and bless. Your words can be powerful for God. Now, the third thing I want you to understand here today is that people around us long for a blessing. The people around you long for a blessing. Your wife longs for a blessing. Your children long for blessings. Do you remember how Esau longed and wept for the blessing of his father? So it is in our culture. People are crying out for the blessing of the father. Your children want your blessing. Read Genesis 27:36-38. Esau literally says, do you have a blessing for me? And because he really, you know, because of a misalignment there, there was great damage that's gone on down through the years in the most painful way. I think early on there in the narratives of the Bible, God is trying to teach us the power of our words. And guys, I would just say today, think deeply. When you're done with this podcast and you're working on a project or you're driving along or you're plowing snow or you're mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, spend some quiet time thinking deeply about the words you have said, the words that you plan to say. Be careful before you speak and realize, think of the people in your life and think of them as thirsty. Think of them as hungry for the blessing, for your blessing, for you to give them your blessing. Now, the fourth thing to see is because of the power and because of the importance of our words, the scriptures teach us that we should choose our words very carefully. We don't have the freedom to just say whatever we think and this is the first thing that comes to our mind. We don't have the freedom to do that. That wouldn't be wise at all. And that wouldn't be something that we should do. Listen to what the scriptures say in Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Proverbs 16:1 says to prepare your heart before you speak. The preparations of the heart are in man, and the answer of his tongue is from the Lord. A man should think carefully before he speaks and ask himself, am I an agent of God in what I'm saying here? Or is what I'm saying going to be damaging? And so our word should be chosen very carefully. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. This is Proverbs 16:23. In a bit, I'll tell you how to prepare a blessing. Maybe I'll do that right now. Okay, so let me give you this. And I appreciate that I picked this up over the years. Here's how you prepare a blessing for someone that you love. Discern their needs and ask God to give you wisdom and understanding. Read Proverbs 2:1-6 and cry out for wisdom and understanding. You want to know the person and what their needs are and what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are. And so discern the needs. And then second, select an appropriate scripture. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and life. John 6:63. You want to speak life into someone. And so ask yourself, what are the appropriate scriptures? This is what I call doing the homework, doing the heavy lifting. As every man hath received the gift, let him minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if a man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, a man should be, this is a skill a man should develop in his life, to take the word of God, and without pseudo-piety, he should just take the truth of the word of God and be able to paraphrase it or directly quote it into a person's circumstance. And the word oracle means an utterance from God. And so this word is used in three other places in the New Testament. And each time it's talking about the words of God. It's in Acts 7:38, Romans 3:2, Hebrews 5:12. So you discern a need and select appropriate scripture, then you're going to use the person's name. You're going to use your name, your words, God's name, God's words. You see how powerful this becomes. You magnify the name of God, and you exalt the name of God when you use a blessing. You call upon the name of God. May the God of all comfort, or may the God of peace, or may the God of grace, or may the God of wisdom, or may, you know, we just had yesterday tragic news reach us. We're far from home right now as I record this, and we're far from loved ones, and the most devastating news has reached us, and we really want to get back to be able to comfort our friends in their heartache. As I think about that, I think, God, you are the God of all comfort. How can I comfort these dear people in their sadness? And this blessing, so you discern their needs, you think through scriptures that would be powerfully used of God, and then you call upon the name of God as his character qualities match the need that they have. You amplify that, and then you speak the blessing. Touch them while you're speaking if it's appropriate, and create a special environment in which to bless them. Because then you see a blessing is using the power of my words and the power of God's name and the power of God's word to call forth the riches of Christ into the life of another person is to wish them the ultimate good. And so it was the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6:27. Scripture says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So this would be how you give a blessing. You, as a man, you want to develop that skill, and you want to use it. Don't use biting words or harsh words or angry words or critical words or sarcastic words. Be very careful. Think about what you say. Ask your wife to help you to point out to you privately when you use words that she doesn't think are helpful. She'll be sensitive to this. And then trust her. Listen to her. She'll help you. Don't be a foolish man. Be wise. Ask yourself the question, who around me is longing for a blessing? Who around me is longing for a blessing? I heard once about a fella who, a boy at school, he was on his way home and some other boys attacked him and they knocked his books out of his hands and they beat him. And another friend came along, helped him pick up his books, helped him with his things, and he befriended him. And he was surprised at how many books the boy had. He became this kid's friend. His kid's name was Kyle. And he became this kid's friend, even though this kid, Kyle, didn't have other friends. And he helped him get all of his books home, and he befriended him, and he would eat lunch with him. And later on, Kyle, when he graduated from high school, he had done well in school and become the valedictorian of the class. And he gave a speech and he said that the turning point of his life was on that day when he was going home from school and those kids knocked his books out of his hand and knocked him down. And this friend came along and befriended him. He said he wondered if his friend ever wondered why he had so many books. The reason he had so many books, he said that day, was that he had cleaned out his locker and he was taking everything home. Because he's trying to organize things because he planned to take his life. But then this young friend came along and spoke kindly to him and became his friend, and it literally saved his life. And there's no question that when you use words the way God intends for you to use words as a man, you're doing something that's very powerful. It may even save someone's life. And even better than that, it may even be that as a result of those words, persons come to faith in Christ. And so there are three times when a blessing is especially powerful or especially appropriate or especially effective. The scriptures talk about this as an important tool that a father should use to influence his sons and daughters. And this would be, you know, very, very important. I heard once of a man who said, matter of fact, I'll read the story. One day when I was about 10 years old, I was in a rowboat. A neighbor boy who I had met at a conference our family was attending. It was obvious he wasn't a believer, so I started to talk to him about how to become a Christian. He didn't seem interested, so I felt like I'd been a failure. But the next week, my dad gave me a blessing that impacted my life. He said it so vividly that I can still picture the details, the surroundings where it happened. I was in the back seat of a green Chrysler going west on Hillgrove Avenue. My father, who was the only other one in the car, he turned his head slightly and said, I hear you witnessed to your friend at the lake. I wondered how he knew, since I hadn't said anything. Apparently, the boy told his mother. She must have told my parents. He said, at any rate, I replied, yes. And then my dad said, well, you're a real little soul winner. And my father's one love was to lead people to Christ, and I was honored with his statement. I knew I wasn't worthy of it because I hadn't led the boy to salvation, but I remember clearly saying to myself, I'm not worthy of this title, but if I keep growing in the Lord, maybe one day I can be. So then I began to look for opportunities to bring friends to gospel meetings. Then when I got in high school, it became my goal to explain the gospel to every student. And then after school, I went door-to-door witnessing, and then I began to lead people to Christ in the city, and then I began to develop a ministry that would have an outreach to others. And this guy's been powerfully used of the Lord to lead many, many, many thousands into God's truth because his dad blessed him. So you can influence your sons and daughters for God with a blessing. Another time, a blessing is especially powerful and appropriate is to use in response to those who've injured you. That's what Jesus said, bless those who curse you. So think of that literally. Prepare a blessing for those who've harmed you. That's what Romans 12:1-14 and following in Matthew 5:44-45 actually say that we bless those we love. We also bless our enemies. It's a very powerful way to treat an enemy, but it's counterintuitive. And then another thing would be a blessing is a powerful way to love your husband or your wife. And gentlemen, love your wives by blessing them. First Peter 3:9 and following, read that. Ephesians 5:26 are talking about loving and understanding your wife. Now, why is this verbal blessing so powerful? And why do our words matter so much? And the reason that they're powerful is because the blessing is combining three very powerful things. The blessing combines your words, which are powerful, God's word, which is powerful, and God's name, which is powerful. And they all converge in the same verbal blessing to help someone else. God, you see, has eternal purposes for everyone in the world. And he wants each of us to discover these purposes. He wants us to fulfill them. And that's the basis of success in life is the following God. When we bless someone, we're speaking a biblical goal that God has for that that person. And we're imparting to them a desire and a power to carry it out. So we're instructed to let our speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt so that we can know how we ought to answer every man. And to speak a blessing to someone is using a biblical truth to affirm what God wants to accomplish in and through the person's life. And then we have this model, of course, in Numbers 6:22, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's in Numbers 6:22 and following. And so this is just a powerful, powerful tool that we have. And people will cling to the blessing. They'll cling to the words that we use to bless them. They'll remember them for a long time. They may very well remember them all their life. I read once about a young man who was kind of a rowdy kid in a school, and he would get in trouble with the teacher. He wasn't evil. He was just rowdy, just active, and the teacher worked with him, and the teacher disciplined him, and the teacher blessed him with her words as much as she could. And he eventually moved on out of her class and up into high school, and then he graduated. But he went off and served, I believe, in the Vietnam conflict. And he was, word came to his teacher once that he was killed in Vietnam, and his body was brought home for the funeral. She said that at the funeral, she was there at the funeral, and the boy's name was Mark Elkind, if I remember correctly. And at the funeral, Mark's mother sought this teacher out. She said, hey, were you his teacher in elementary school? Well, yes, I was. She says, well, you're the one, she said, were you the one that had everybody else take out a piece of paper and then write down something nice about everybody in the class? And then you took the papers and you took all the nice things that all the people said and put them on one paper and gave each person all the nice things that somebody said about them. She said, yeah, that was me. She said, that paper, she got it out and handed it to the teacher. all the good things about Mark Elkind that all of his classmates had said, and it was put on this yellow piece of paper. It was folded and worn, and it was something that he carried with him all the time until he died. It was on his body when he died. And this is where a man should think. The things that he says will be captured by his loved ones, by his children, by his wife, even by his enemies, and will often be retained, will often be held, especially when a man has been prayerful and has been thoughtful and has been wise and has studied the person and searched the scriptures and prepared a blessing and used his name, used the name and the word of God. And then given that blessing to his child or to his enemy or to his wife, it would not be unlikely for that person to cherish that blessing all the days of their life. And gentlemen, that you may not feel very powerful. You may not feel very influential. You may not feel very important. But all around you every day are people who, though they may not appear so on the outside, are inwardly longing for a blessing from God and from God's word, even if they don't know what they're longing for. And you as a man, you have the power with your words to do that. That might be something that you want to, a skill that you want to develop, a skill that you want to work on. And I trust that God will give you the power to use the wisdom, to use the power of the spoken blessing in the lives of others. Let me pray to that end. Father, I pray this morning for the men who hear my voice on this simple little recording, that they would be moved of God and used of God to be a blessing to those in their lives, and that they would be, that they'd be able to develop a skill of using a spoken blessing to help others around them, especially those that they love. Help us in the hard duty of doing this with our enemies. Help us to follow you as we respond to our enemies, that we bless them, and we ask for your best for them, and that our enemies, people that have harmed us, would come to repentance if necessary, and have the blessing and the favor of the Lord on their lives, and have your very best for them, that one day we'd all be reunited. And I pray for our wives, Lord, that they would live with our blessing, and that they would know that they have our blessing. Give us wisdom and skill in this, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.